Hello, I'm Jesse Wold from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. Today, as we look together at God's Word, we'll be considering the issue of God's providence, His rule over everything, and the reading will be from Psalm 107, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. And so, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me for the sermon. Let's pray. Mighty God, your word is truth. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word teaches us the truth. It gives instruction for the life we should live. It rebukes and corrects wrong beliefs and wrong ways of living. It gives us a vision of you seated high and lifted up on the glorious throne. By your Spirit, make our hearts ready and willing to believe and follow. Give us eyes for Christ our King. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now let's read Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God, and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labour. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze, and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. And they sow fields and plant vineyards, and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with my three kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys!
Hi!
Now, I wonder if you kids can help me a little bit. Alright, I've got some things that I'd really like you to do for me. It'd be really, really great if you could. See, I'm planning on spending a few days in Geelong over the next few days, and it would be so good if you could make the weather lovely and sunny and warm, so that we'd be able to go like to playgrounds and down to the beach and whatever. That'd be really good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah? So could you arrange that for me?
Nah.
No? What do you mean, no?
We're not in charge of the weather.
You can't do the weather. Well, who do I talk to about controlling the weather then?
God.
God? He's in control of the weather?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll chat to him about that. Well, maybe you guys can help me with something else. See, I've got some friends who are really sick at the moment. Really sick. Their bodies are breaking down. They're not doing well at all. And I was just wondering if maybe you could make them better for me. Because they're good friends. They're lovely people. It'd be great if they could get better. Can you help me?
No. Ask God.
Ask God? Why would I ask God?
Because he's in control of everything.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. All right. Here's another thing that you might be able to help me with. See, I've been watching the news and reading the newspapers, and there's a lot of pretty bad stuff happening in the world. There are countries that are fighting with other countries, and politicians making laws that are really mean to some people. And there are some people who don't have enough food to eat and who don't have any money to buy more food. I was wondering if you guys could fix those little problems for me. Just spend a few minutes trying to fix those problems so all the world is better. Can you do that for me?
No.
Jesus. You can't.
Tell Jesus.
Jesus.
He's
God.
In control of everything.
God is in control of everything. That's good to know. Okay, I've just got one more thing that maybe you can do. See, I'm trying to decide how I should spend my time next year when Hannah is off at kinder. I've got a few ideas, but I'm not really sure what's going to be the best because I can't see the future and I can't see what's going to happen later on. So it would make my decision a whole lot easier if you could just tell me what's going to happen next year. Yeah, that'll be great. Can you do that for me?
No way.
No,
God can do it.
I have an idea of what you can do. He's in control of everything. Have a nap.
A nap. That does solve a lot of problems. All right. So you're trying to tell me that you can't control any of these things. And you're trying to tell me that there is somebody who is in control of all of these things.
Yes.
Jesus.
God is in control, isn't it?
Because he's the king.
There are lots of things in this life that we don't know and that we can't do, aren't there? As you get bigger and older, you'll find that you'll be able to do lots more things on your own.
Yes.
But there'll still be some things that even grown-ups can't manage. We can't do it because we're not in control of the whole world. We didn't make it. It doesn't belong to us. And we can't turn everything out the way we'd like it to. But the good news is that there is a God who is in control. He's in control of every little teeny tiny thing, like how many legs an ant has and how many spiders are in my garden. He's in control of how many lemons grow on my lemon tree and on everybody else's too. God's in control of every cell in everybody's bodies. He can make them sick or well. He's in control of the hearts of kings and rulers and politicians. He can change them so that they can make good, wise decisions. Or he can let them keep doing their nasty, evil things. God can see the future. But he can't just see the future and know what will happen. He's in control of what will happen. He chooses the plan and the world just goes on and does it. God can make it rain or snow or be over 40 degrees. And even better than knowing that he's in control is knowing that God is good. He's good and he can be trusted to work all things out for good. He's in control. He's powerful over everything and he loves us too. Enough to send his son to die for us. We can trust him in everything because he's powerful and he's good. Let's pray to this powerful and good God. Father, we thank you that you are always in control and that you can always be trusted to do what is right. Please help us to trust you always, even when this world seems out of control and we don't understand what your plans are. Help us to live your way, knowing that you can use us for your good plans. Amen.
My God would never do that. Beck heard this recently. She was at the shops and ran into someone she knows. They got onto the topic of our miscarriages. And this woman said, "Some people say stupid things, don't they? About God being in control of all these bad things. I just can't believe that a good God would do things like this." Is it really a stupid thing to say? Believe me, people have said stupid things to try and comfort us. But was this one of them? Is God in control or not? And if he is in control, what does that mean? Can God be good, yet still be in control of tragedy? That's what we'll be thinking about today. We'll be taking a bird's eye view over what theologians call providence. This is something we could easily spend weeks considering all the different issues. But the clear testimony of the Bible is, yes, the Lord God Almighty reigns. And he reigns over all things, the good and the bad, the joys and the pains, the big and the small. The Lord God Almighty reigns. We'll only be considering three areas where God reigns today. First, God reigns over creation. Second, God reigns over the nations. Third, God reigns over you. But this isn't some random piece of Bible trivia. This is a source of immense comfort and hope, joy and praise. Without this, we're lost in a sea of despair when bad times come, because what's the use of a God who's not in control, who can't stop it? How could this God, so impotent he can't stop the bad thing, be powerful enough to bring good out of it? But our God isn't weak. The Lord God Almighty reigns. And first, he reigns over creation. Some in the church reject the idea that God reigns over creation or that he controls all of it. But the Bible is crystal clear. Creation belongs to God, and he's in control of it. See his control over the storm in Psalm 107, verses 23 to 32. Verse 25, he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. Verse 29, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. We're still learning all the factors which influence weather. High and low pressure systems, the placement of the moon, temperature. But behind all of these and more is the God who made them all. And as the waves crash, the Bible says it's God who caused it. How do my children get to school? If I knew more about cars and science, I could give you all the technicalities. The accelerator allows more petrol into the engine, and there's mini explosions which move one thing and then another, while the steering wheel turns this, which turns that, which then turns the wheels at the right time. Or I could simply say that I drive my kids to school. What makes the waves? We could explore scientific textbooks to explain it and give a complex answer, appropriate for a science exam. But ultimately, God stands behind it all. He made everything, establishing how things run. He is the ultimate cause behind everything. So the surfer can know about the movement of water and the cause of waves, but he can still give thanks to God who brings the waves. Now, it gets a bit harder emotionally when we think about the 2004 Boxing Day tsunami, which killed over 200,000 people. It's harder when we think about this virus that God allowed and ultimately caused it. But still, while we don't understand the why, we can't hide from the fact that God was and is in control of that too. That's not something we can deny because it's uncomfortable. God says to Cyrus in Isaiah 45 verse 7, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. God doesn't fit into our box. He's not easy to explain. He doesn't give us all the answers to all the tragedies, all the reasons for what he does. But the Bible is clear. God reigns over creation. Jesus said that he makes the sun rise and fall. He feeds the birds and clothes the grass with lilies. And he's in control even when an insignificant sparrow falls to the ground. This same God also threw the hail on the Egyptians, sending frogs and gnats and boils and sickness and death. The Lord God Almighty reigns, and he reigns over creation. Second, God reigns over the nations, and we see that most clearly by looking at Israel. God had brought them to Egypt through a famine. Notice again God's reign over creation. Joseph said to Pharaoh when interpreting his dream in Genesis 41, verse 25, God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. God brought the family to Egypt, then brought them out with plagues. He moved a whole nation from one place, spoke to them at the mountain, then brought them to the promised land. Then they rebelled and were in the wilderness for 40 years. And look at how Psalm 107 describes it. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. God led the nation, taking them to where he wanted to plant them. God is an expert gardener. We have a friend who volunteers as the gardener at the Presbyterian College in Box Hill, and since she took it on, it's looked amazing. But Beck and I were surprised to hear that she doesn't really know very much about soil and pH levels and where to put what plants where. She just experiments. She tries. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. She gives it a go and hopes for the best. And as good a job as she does, that's not how God operates. He deliberately plants nations where he wants them. Paul said in Acts 17, verse 26, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. God planted England and Australia and China and Iran and North Korea. And whether they acknowledge him or not, God is the one who's really in charge. We might not understand what he's doing, why he allows atrocities to happen, but the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Proverbs 21:1. The Lord God Almighty reigns. He reigns over creation, and he reigns over the nations, even wicked nations, even the kings of those nations. Again, that might make us uncomfortable, because now God's not in our box. We're left to wonder why he allows things to happen the way they do. You might be tempted to say, "My God would never do that. I could never believe in a God who'd do that." But there's no hope in rejecting God's providence. We only have hope for the future if God really is in control, if the Lord God Almighty reigns. And he does reign. He reigns over creation and the nations. And he reigns over you. God gave Ruth conception. He ordained which sperm would meet which egg. He knitted you together in the womb, Psalm 139 says. And he'll be there at the end of life. Naomi was right in Ruth 1:13. God's hand had gone out against her, taking her sons and husband. But God doesn't keep himself to the margins of our lives. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. He is intimately involved in every aspect of our lives, every decision and step. There's debate about which is more influential, nature or nurture. Is a generous person naturally inclined that way, or is it what they've been taught? When someone is shy, is that learned or innate? Now, pretty much everyone would say there's a mixture of both nature and nurture, but God's in charge of them both. He determines our parents and our experiences, where we grow up, the people around us, the tragedies we face. He forms us from beginning to end exactly how he wants us, like the potter shaping the clay with his workmanship. And like God reigns over natural disasters and the atrocities of nations, there's something uncomfortable we need to grapple with here. God is even in control of our sin. Does that mean he's responsible for our sin? No, he is holy. God never tempts anyone to sin, James 1:13 says. And yet, Judges 14:4 says that Samson's desire for a Philistine wife was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. 2 Samuel 24 verse 1 says that God incited David to take a census of the people, something that was forbidden. God ordains and allows sin. It forms part of his plan. Now, does this mean people aren't responsible? That we can say to God, "You made me do it"? Well, let me ask you, do you ever feel like you're forced to say that harsh word? Or does it just come naturally to you? We're not forced to sin. We sin willingly, gripped by our sinful desires. But look at how God can use our sin for his purposes. Acts 2:23, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified by the hands of lawless men." Was it a sin to put Jesus to death? Absolutely. Jesus was innocent, God's son, the Messiah. Was it God's plan for Jesus to be crucified? Yes. It was the plan before the foundation of the world. It was promised all throughout the Old Testament. And it's that event, the most sinful and horrific event in the history of the world, which God had planned to be for the salvation of sinners. That whoever trusted in Jesus' death would be forgiven. This has only been a bird's eye view of providence, that the Lord God Almighty reigns. There's more to cover, and one day, God willing, we will. We'll look more closely at these issues which make us scratch our head and get uncomfortable. Are you tempted to reject that the Lord God Almighty reigns? Is it too much to accept that God rules over all events in creation, all the actions of the nations, and all your actions? Are you thinking to yourself, "I could never believe in a God like that"? These are hard things to hold together, but the Bible's not apologetic about it. In fact, look at Psalm 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Verse 8, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." God's providence is a reason for thanksgiving and praise when we experience good things. And God's providence should make us hope in times of despair and heartache. In our toughest trials, he's in control. He decided we'd go through these times, and that's not a reason to abandon him, but to cling to him. If he wasn't in control, if he didn't bring it, then what hope do we have? If God didn't bring it, then either it caught him by surprise, or he knew it was coming and couldn't do anything. What kind of a God is that? Not one worthy of praise. But if God brought our suffering, he can deliver us from it. It makes sense to pray to him because we know that he can do something. He reigns. He can take it away, or he can make something good come out of it. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And what a comfort that is. When you hear the diagnosis, or feel the pain of loss, our God is with us. And he's in control. What a reason for thanks, even in our pain, that the one who holds the whole world in his hands also holds us. If God can arrange all of human history, and even the sinful actions of wicked men, to bring our salvation from our sin, then he can care for us and deliver us from our hardships. And even if he doesn't, we can trust that he has our best interests in mind. It might not be what we want, but he knows what we need better than we do. And what's our need? What's he bringing his people to? Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's making us like Jesus. And like Jesus suffered and entered into glory, so we suffer, being taught to cling more tightly to the Lord God Almighty who reigns. And one day, we will enter into glory too. What a hope we have. The Lord God Almighty reigns. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns. He reigns over creation, the nations, and you. He calmed the storm. We're told he'll shatter the nations like pottery. And he's the judge of every human heart. What a God to hope and trust in. Let's cling to him, even while we don't fully understand him. Because he reigns. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, maker of the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, you are good, and your faithfulness endures to all generations. What a joy it is to know that over all things, even over the hard and tragic and evil things, you are still God. You reign over it all, bringing about your good purposes. We would love to understand this more, to know the details of the plan, to understand how each thing, especially each hard thing, works to achieve what you will. But while we live this side of heaven, this side of understanding these things, we trust you. We praise you. We pray you would work in power for our good, making us more like Christ. We ask that you deliver us from our troubles, and especially that you would purify us from our sin. How thankful we are that the Sovereign Lord himself willingly came to suffer on the cross for us. Please forgive us, and may our love for him grow as we consider the glory he had with you from the beginning. We praise you that because you reign over all things, we can pray to you, knowing you hear, and knowing that if it is your will, you can and will act, either to rescue us or to strengthen us through the trial and bring good out of it, all to the praise of your name. Fill our hearts with joy at this truth. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. If you'd like to make a comment, or you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.